All right, let's celebrate. It's Friday, everybody. Welcome to the John DiBella Show Daily Podcast. It is November 22nd, 1122. It's Dave here on the interweb narrating for you what is to come in this here nifty little podcast for you. Desmond Child was on the show today. Songwriter extraordinaire, the man responsible for countless rock anthems in our playlist. We had a great chat with him. You can have Pornhub for Christmas. Probably not something you're putting on your list for your wife, but we covered it today. Don't let this PSA happen to your state. We went to the Dakotas, where they went viral this past week for one public service slogan that we didn't cover today. This shocked me when John brought up the show. I thought it was for the meth, we're on it campaign, but there was another one that was not coming off quite as they intended that we covered today. Thongs and turkeys were a topic after song stories. Steve and I tried our hand at an extra tough millennial meanings, and we covered the OK Boomer craze, which apparently now can cost you your job. Have a listen and have a great weekend. We'll chat again on Monday. Until then, it is the Daily Podcast.
We got to tell you, folks, we are really excited over the fact that Desmond Child is going to be calling in today. Let me give you an idea of some of the stuff that he's written. Bon Jovi's "You Give Love a Bad Name," "Living on a Prayer," and what was the third one?
Bad Medicine.
Bad Medicine. Bad Medicine. So I did those three. Aerosmith's "Dude Looks Like a Lady," "Angel," "What It Takes."
He did crying also.
Yeah,
basically, every rock anthem.
Right. Exactly.
Think of the amount of
Loca.
Right. No. He did do "Living La Vida Loca."
Oh God, what was that other one? She bangs.
She bangs.
There was something you and I were talking about yesterday in the office that he did a song that's out of our realm.
Uh huh.
Oh, what was it? Oh. It was in the vein of "Living La Vida Loca."
Imagine the amount of fist pumping this guy has inspired in his career. Seriously, he's going to end the obesity epidemic himself.
And you know, he'll tell you something probably during the course of the interview about how much fists mean to him, but I'll explain that
later. What?
The John DiBella Podcast.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
102.9 MGK.
We are putting together, and we should have it ready by next week, our own list of what to buy a guy for Christmas.
Yes.
All right? You know, we figured, you know, we're three guys, they're ranging in ages, and we all have different interests, you know, and our list is good as anybody else's that gets put out there. You know, I've looked at some other lists, and the crap that they have on them, if anybody ever showed up like, here's a pen holder, well, thanks.
Yeah, really, you know, hokey stuff.
Yeah, that's really right. So we're going to have our own list that you'll be able to check in on. I don't know if anybody has put this up because it was just announced, so it might not be on your list. Fans of Pornhub?
Never heard of it.
No.
Right.
Well, he's an ex-hamster guy.
On Black Friday, from the November 29th through December 2nd, you can score a lifetime subscription to Pornhub. It's their premium streaming service. Now, the price is $299.
Okay.
But normally it's $95 a year. So
who would pay for this?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's the gift that gives for a lifetime. About 3 to 5 minutes at a time, but it gives it for a lifetime.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Must be tough spanking your monkey.
Honey, you got real ugly.
102.9 MGK.
But you know, first of the DeSotos, I have a problem with those two states actually having four senators.
You mean Dakotas?
The Dakotas.
You said DeSotos. Okay.
No, it's the DeSotos.
Oh, is it? North is DeSotos, that a DiBellaism?
That's a DiBellaism. No. It's kind of like Abilama, all right, you know, the DeSotos. All right, but anyway, I have a problem with North Dakota and South Dakota having four senators, right? When you combine the population of those two states, there are more people living in Philadelphia, not the metro, in the city of Philadelphia. There are more people living in this city than there are in the combined population of those two states.
Wow. I believe it.
Right. So they shouldn't have four senators. They should only have two.
Well, start your petition. Change.org.
I know. You know, there's some congresswoman that has, a congressman that has, eight cows and a farmer as his congressional district. You know, there's got to be parts of that state. There's nobody living in most of the state.
Carson Wentz left.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, anyway, their Department of Public Safety, there's a problem that happens, in snowy areas like that. And we all know it here, too. If you're driving and you jerk the wheel, right? You're going to go into a spin in no time.
Sure.
But it seems to be a big problem in South Dakota. So they put up billboards. They did a big PSA campaign, right? You know, across the state, and they put up billboards everywhere. And the billboards say, "Don't jerk and drive."
Oh, boy. Well, have you tried it? I mean, come on.
Is Sarge the spokesperson for it?
I have no idea.
You'd be a guess.
Just the idea.
Don't jerk and drive.
Right. They put these up all over the highway. Don't jerk and drive. They have been jerked off the highways now as well. They have taken them down.
We could have used them here a few years ago when you had the guy driving around in the neon with the piece of cheese.
The Swiss cheese bandit.
Yeah, Swiss cheese bandit.
Maybe he moved there.
It's possible.
Never know.
The John DeBella Podcast.
He's got this one wrong. Yeah, of course he's got it wrong.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Everything out of his mouth is going to be wrong.
MGK.
So we've been talking about this for weeks. We mentioned it earlier in the hour that songwriter extraordinaire Desmond Child is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. This man is responsible for writing or co-writing some of the most incredible songs, so many of your favorites. Even Kiss, I Was Made for Loving You,
mm-hmm.
That's a Desmond Child song. All right, you know, he worked with Joan Jett. He worked with Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, Bad Medicine. Those are all songs that he co-wrote with them or wrote. I'm not sure. You got to go back and look at the credits to see which one he wrote totally on his own, mm-hmm. or which one he co-wrote with the band.
Right.
All right. And so he's going to be joining us at 8:10 this morning. Just, you know, I've been looking forward to Casey, my son, actually performed in front of him once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
At a
big ASCAP convention, right? Okay. They have like, you know, thousands of people submit songs and they pick two people.
Oh, so it was like a showcase for
him.
Yeah,
and they pick two people because, you know, it's a whole weekend of meeting all kinds of, you know, music industry people.
Right.
And then everybody who's there, everybody who's a songwriter, puts in a song and they're going to select two of them to use as examples of this is what great songwriting is. And my son was the number one pick. Wow. That year, and Desmond was up there, and then for the next 2 years, he was the number one pick again with two different songs. So,
think he'll remember them? Are you going to bring it up?
I'll bring it up, but more than likely, I doubt it.
Yeah, this guy's been hanging out with top 40 acts for 30 years.
Yeah, but anyway, he's going to be joining us at 8:10 this morning. One of the songs that he wrote with Aerosmith. This is Angel.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I'm trying to figure out some way to appear humble.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic rock, 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
CCR bassist Stu Cook recalls how the meaning of Up Around the Bend seemed to get lost in translation in another country, in another English-speaking country.
Up Around the Bend is a quite happy song, very positive song, but when we were touring England, there was some concern about just what the story was about, because when someone goes around the bend or up around the bend, in English slang, it means they flipped out or lost it completely, so doing press conferences and things like that when we were first touring England, there were several questions from the press just about what this song meant, and finally it was explained to us that it had practically an opposite meaning in the English context. We found that amusing.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You know something? You are nuts.
I am.
102.9 MGK.
One of the few songs Desmond Child didn't write.
Yeah, right.
The Car is My Best Friend's Girlfriend, and songwriter extraordinaire Desmond Child is going to be joining us at 8:10. We've been talking about him for weeks, and we finally got him to come on the air with us. He's written for Joan Jett, for Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, and Kiss, and a large amount of songs for all of these people. And it goes on and on. And didn't we? What was the song that we found out? It was Cisco's.
Oh, the thong
the
song.
The thong song.
Thong, 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 thong.
The thong song.
Won the talent show in my high school year.
Oh, my
did
God.
It? Yeah. Girls danced to it. It was lovely.
Yeah, of course it won the talent show.
Guys, I think I know the words.
I don't doubt that.
46 degrees outside. A passing morning shower is still possible, but sun and clouds is what we're going to have today. The high temperature, about 55 degrees. It seems that the weather is going to be absolutely perfect for Tuesday and the turkey drop, and I hope that you you are going to help us out this year. Acme Markets has come through, and so has Parks Casino, Dietz and Watson, and we're hoping you come through as well. We'll be broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m. in front of the Kimmel Center, and our staff will be out at Acme Markets throughout the Delaware Valley. Look, I mean, there's a story this morning that the average, let me find this.
Your stat sheet?
It should only cost you $48.91 to serve 10 people at Thanksgiving this year. That includes turkey, side dishes, drinks, and desserts.
Wow.
Right? If you want to also include things like, ham, potatoes, green bean casserole, something like that, kick it up another $13. But we're talking about $50, and that's a dinner for 10. Hmm. That is a different. A $20 gets you a 16-pound turkey in most markets. And if you stop by one of the Acmes, you only have to bring it with you. You can walk in the store, get it, and then bring it out and give it to us. You know, it's just, there's just no reason for the amount of hunger that there is in this city. There's no reason that one in four Philadelphians lives below the poverty line, and 7 out of 10 of them are children. This is the working poor, folks. This is the people we work for each and every year, and the folks at City Team do a great job with it. And whatever, and not only do they hand it out to their clients, but they hand it out to other churches and other soup kitchens and other people who need big groups of food, and that's why we count on you. So please, this year, stop by at any one of the Acme locations that we're going to be at. There's a whole list at WMGK.com where you could use a credit card and a secure credit card, or you can make a secure donation with your credit card on WMGK.com. In Havertown, there's an Acme on Westchester Pike and Red Lion Road in Northeast Philadelphia. In Flowertown, on Bethlehem Pike. Mm-hmm. And in Audubon, New Jersey, on the Black Horse Pike. So if you can make it to one of those, please do. If not, if you get a coupon, mail it in to us or drop it off at any of those locations, because we sure could use the help. Remember, you never feel better than you do when you help somebody who's less fortunate than yourself.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
And we will make
the John DeBella Podcast
great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What is hip? Tell me, tell me. You think you know? What is hip?
Yep, it's time for Millennial Meetings once again, the feature that makes Dave and Steve either feel young or old. When they get them right, they feel like they are young again. When they get them old, they realize they are getting older. All right, Dave being the middle here, me being the top, and Steve being the baby.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, so these are all dating things.
All right.
Oh, all right.
That's going to be difficult.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
All right.
It's been a while.
So, all right. First one is cosplaying. Cosplaying. What is one doing when one is cosplaying?
Okay, well, we know what cosplaying is. What would the cause be?
You spell it?
Are you, it's like a spelling bee.
C-A-U-S-E.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Listen, just making sure,
right,
man.
Right.
I mean, cosplaying.
I'm going to hit you in the head because if this goes any longer.
Do you think it's like everybody has a cause, like an agenda? Do you think it's when people are like pretending to have an agenda?
I don't even know where to start.
Pretending to be an activist when in reality it's just like a play to get you in bed.
Okay, why not?
Fine, sure. Why not?
Cosplaying, where a casual relationship ends, but the person eventually circles back to ask for a favor, like going to their band show or supporting their Kickstarter. 61% of people say that they have done this.
That was brutal.
That makes no sense. The definition to that word doesn't fit.
Yeah, cosplaying,
you know, I can understand supporting their Kickstarter or something like that. Support my cause. That's it.
I kind of got it. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Okay, right. Eclipsing. Eclipsing.
That, I mean, has dirty interpretation?
Has nothing to do with taking your pants off. Has nothing to do with it at all.
I think it's when you have a significant other and then someone else sort of moves into the spotlight.
Well, that's where I was going to go with, but right? I was going to say if you replace a friend. So we're sort of in the same vein.
But this is dating. So when you replace someone you're dating with somebody new who basically just moves in front of them and all of a sudden.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that. And overshadows
But an eclipse also goes away. So is there like a quick moment with that person and then it's back to the original?
Oh, like almost like a side piece.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's go there.
All right.
Man!
You guys are going to get stained today. I know it. where you adopt the interests and hobbies of the person you're dating and pretend that you've always liked them also.
Oh, man. Right? Okay.
Next one. Oh, this one. Do not take this where it obviously will go.
All right.
White clawing.
Ain't no laws, baby. Ain't no laws.
That's anarchy.
White clawing.
But when it has to do with dating.
Yeah,
white clawing. If Taylor was in here right now, she'd be looking at us like, guys, come on.
White clawing. Well, I know if you drink 15 of them, you're going to feel like crap on a Monday morning.
That's recent knowledge that Steve has gotten. Yeah, yeah.
John and I witnessed it.
Oh, boy.
I think it's when you're just... When you're drinking like a girl?
Yes.
Or during your date? Like, I'll have a Cosmo.
Exactly. Yes, I agree.
I'll have an Appletini.
I told you.
White clawing, where you stay with someone you find boring only because you find them attractive.
These don't make any sense.
We need to work on this generation's defining skills.
Okay. Yellow carding.
Yellow carding.
All right. Well, in soccer, it's a minor foul.
Uh-huh.
So
this is a foul to some extent. Okay.
Right. Yellow carding. See, to me, that was a pop punk band.
Oh, my God.
That's all I have to contribute.
Oh, my God.
Going to a yellow card concert together.
So it's a minor problem you did in the relationship.
And then you get over it, right? It's like you get kicked out of a game if you get a yellow card.
No, you don't. Yeah, right.
No, you get sent to the side or something. Eventually.
No.
Eventually you get kicked out.
Two yellow cards.
Dumb Americans.
Yeah. I guess it's a minor argument.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, in a way, you're kind of like...
I didn't hear that part. I'm taking it as a win for as bad as this has been.
When you call someone out for their bad dating etiquette
is
yellow carding. And lastly, dial toning. Dial toning. You actually know this under a different name.
I'm assuming it's like the FU button. You're almost like screening the call.
You think so?
I'm screening, yeah.
Like a star 69 type deal?
No, meaning like, I see that John's calling. I'm not going to answer it.
Right.
That's what I mean. Oh, okay. That's what I mean.
All right,
sure.
All right.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a...
All right. We're getting warm.
Dial toning is like preemptive ghosting, where someone gives you their number that ignores every call or text that you ever send them.
Funny that they're using dial toning, because if you think about it, there is no such thing as a dial tone anymore with the millennials.
Yeah, Gen Z has never heard a dial tone.
Right. But they know about OK Boomer, and we will clarify that in just a moment.
The John DeBella Podcast.
No!
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
No!
MGK.
Cindy, do you know about this new craze of OK Boomer?
No, I do not. I have no idea.
OK Boomer is a catchphrase that younger people drop when baby boomers do something that's condescending.
My kids did this to me the other day.
Out of touch or destructive to the future of the planet and society. Right. Well, boomers aren't really happy with them being spoken to by these youngins
in a
condescending way.
Whiners.
Right. And there's a chance. You ready for this?
Yep.
There's a chance that you could be fired for dropping that phrase at work.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You bastards better watch out.
Okay, boomer. Please get out of here.
It comes down to the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967 that bans people from creating a hostile work environment over someone's age. An OK Boomer qualifies.
Wow.
Who's the snowflakes now?
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. Right. And by the way, the rule does not apply both ways.
Oh, naturally
it only applies to people over 40, so your older coworkers are free to make millennial jokes without repercussions.
Which is the most boomer thing ever. We're good, you're all screwed.
Right. That's it. You know, it's just like, screw you, you little millennial bastards.
By the way, it's Gen Z that came up with OK Boomer, so leave us out of it.
All right, fine.
We're old now, as we just found out.
Yeah, as you just did find out.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK. The gentleman that we are about to have on the air has had over, 80 Billboard Top 40 singles to his credit. He sold over 50 million records worldwide, and there's a very good chance that you don't know who he is. In the music business, we all know who he is. He's Desmond Child, and he's got a brand new album called Desmond Child Live. And I've got to tell you, Desmond, there are three things I'm going to tell you now that I doubt anyone else on this tour is going to tell you. You ready?
I'm ready.
I was on the radio and played Desmond Child in Rouge.
Wow, you're old.
Secondly, I met you with Joan Jett and Kenny Laguna.
Oh my God, my two favorite people in the entire world.
And lastly, my son was at an ASCAP convention where at the end of the convention, you bring up a couple of musicians to criticize their work.
That's right. Was he one of them?
He was one of them.
I'm sorry.
No. You loved him.
I apologize.
Desmond, I just find it so hard to comprehend. The public, they hear, you know, these Bon Jovi songs, Bad Medicine, Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name. Are these songs that you wrote totally on your own, or were you with John and Richie? I mean, how did they come about?
I'm the ultimate collaborator. You know, uh-huh. I've never really been that successful pitching a song. I go in and I usually co-write with the lead singer and the lead guitar player. We form a sacred circle and we get in there and knock it out. And so all of this, you know, the hits I've written, I've been a part of and collaborated with the artists that performed them.
When did you hook up with Aerosmith? And was that at the time that Aerosmith really had their big, rebirth?
They had gone to Geffen Records and they had made a record called Done With Mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
John Klodner, the A&R guy that had signed them, had started to see the success I was having with Bon Jovi and Kiss and gave me a call and forced me on Aerosmith. They did not want to collaborate. They'd never collaborate with someone outside.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring somebody completely into their world, into their family, into their culture from the outside was a new idea. And so I went to Boston, and the very first day that I got there, I walked into this warehouse, and Joe had like an army of 100 guitars, every kind of glitter, purple, rainbow, every kind of guitar was on the floor. And Steven comes up to me and like leads me up to where Joe's kind of working on this backward loop that's going da-da, da-da, and then Steven starts singing, "Cruising for the ladies, da-da." And I said, "That's really bad." And Joe like crossed his arms and Steven kind of sheepishly said, "Well, when I first started to sing that, I was singing Dude Looks Like a Lady," and I said, "What?" Well, and then Joe said, "But we don't know what that means." And I said, "Well, I'm gay. I know what that means." And I hoodwinked them into telling this amazing story that has stood the test of time. Never judge a book by its cover, or who you're gonna love by your lover.
Oh, man. Now, did that lead you into all of these other songs? Because you worked with them on Angel and on What It Takes and Crazy. These are their biggest hits.
I know.
Like I'm telling you something you don't.
And Steven wrote his autobiography. He spent 2 pages on Dude Looks Like a Lady. Then, kind of said, "Oh, well, you know, he didn't really write anything on the song and this and that and the other thing." But then Joe writes his autobiography and said, "Well, Desmond came up with everything. He came up with the title and everything. I'm sure they haven't read each other's autobiographies." And so finally I had to sit Steven down and tell him exactly what happened. And so, you know, he looked at me and goes, "I like your story better."
All of the songs that you've written, and especially in this group of Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Joan Jett, Kiss, what was the toughest one that you worked on?
Gosh, I mean, sometimes it's tough. I mean, with Michael Bolton, I co-wrote How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be Friends with Diane Warren and Michael. And, you know, he was a very tough customer. He really was. And we were kind of afraid of him.
Now, did he have the mullet at that time?
Mullet in full bloom.
Okay. Oh, well, there's a reason to be. There's a reason to be scared.
Okay. He's stuck on the mullet.
Diane and I always used to joke that, you know, if you sit by the side of the river long enough, you'll see Michael Bolton's mullet float by. But I got to tell you this great story. So I'm producing the song, and so Michael was on his way to the studio from Connecticut, And so he was getting close. So I had hired a drummer to come and play a crash cymbal on the last modulation, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he goes to play it. And all of a sudden, I'm only hearing two or three instruments. And I look at my engineer, and he turns white. And then he stops the machine. The assistant engineer had plugged in what they call a remote. But it was plugged into 17 tracks, got erased.
Oh, my God.
It was worse than the Nixon White House.
Oh, my God. Well, Desmond Child, folks, probably one of the greatest songwriters in America today. He's got an album out where he's finally singing all of his songs. Desmond Child Live. It's available now. Desmond Child, our guest. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
Rock on. Rock on.
Thank you, dude.
Cruising for the ladies?
Yeah.
You know, I never even questioned the dude looks like a lady in a line at all, because I've seen some guys who were just like, they were very definitely men. They weren't trying to be women. They weren't trying to be transvestites or anything like that. But they were dressed just a little too girly for my liking. That's what
damn Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler's one of them. That's true. 48 degrees outside. What an amazing guy.
Really cool.
What an amazing guy. Well, we used to, back in the day, Kenny Laguna, Joan, and I, Kenny was and still is Joan's manager, right? We had this expression called, what's the point, Desmond?
Uh-huh.
All right? Because Desmond, who we all knew was gay, right? And we always looked at rock and roll. You know, rock and roll was, you know, was like girls, rock and roll, cars. You know, those are the things that went together, right? And we looked at Desmond, and we're at this bar one night, and he's on the other side of the bar, and we're all rip-roaring drunk. And he's on the other side of the bar, and he's surrounded by these beautiful women,
mm-hmm.
right? Who, I don't know if they knew, if they were friends, if they knew he was gay. I don't know what the hell it was, right? And Kenny stands up on the foot rail on the bar so he can, like, be up even higher, and he screams across the bar, what's the point, Desmond? and that had become a run. Anytime something didn't make sense, it was like, what's the point, Desmond?
The John DiBella Podcast.
Sing.
102.9 MGK.